All right, great to have you back with us as we get ready for Giants baseball. The Giants are 14-10 in July, and they're going to welcome in a new lefty today, and that is Tony Watson. And tomorrow, more than likely, Chris Bryant will join the club. Bruce Jenkins, good morning. Did you survive yesterday okay?
Oh, my goodness. By the end of the night, after watching the Giants and the Dodgers and the Padres and the Olympics, I couldn't get to it all, but I certainly did get to the Giants in amazing times. But interesting game. Yeah, Houston's a really good club. This is a telling series for both of them.
Yeah, Houston and Bruce, the first five guys in that order, the on-base percentage is close to .340. And they're just good hitters. And I got into this with Papa last night on texting. And I said, boy, this Altuve may be the best hitter we've seen all year. And he said, well, what about Max Muncy? I'll throw it out to you. Who scares you more, Altuve or Muncy?
Well, against the Giants, I think I'd have to say Muncy because his track record is ridiculous. But Altuve's a better hitter, than everybody. I mean, he really is. I mean, you look at this guy's numbers, especially bouncing back from the scandal and, the emotional hurt that he took. But he leads off games with first pitch homers. He stands like 3 feet tall. He's got 24 homers. He took a pitch around the eyes last night and hit it out. He's a phenomenal hitter. He's definitely, I'd say, a better pure hitter than Muncy, but what Muncy does to the Giants kind of balances the scales off a little bit.
I think someone wrote that the home run he hit was taller than the pitch was taller than he was.
Yeah, one thing about the grand slam that he hit later off of Jackson. Did you see on the telecast, Jackson's out there. They don't really know him. And there's Altuve with a coach looking at an iPad, like, in plain view. Like, it's illegal. But, I mean, they're right outside the dugout looking at a friggin' iPad to see what Jackson – I assume they're looking at Jackson's stuff. That was bothersome to me. I just it's modern-day ball and everything else. But a little too much technology for me.
Yeah, that's a scouting report. Look, that's what – a hitting coach – used to be a guy who said, okay, move your hands here and, let's go to the cage and, let's put
smoke.
Let's put quarters in the batting machine and take a few swings like Jack Clark used to do. But it changed. That's what drove Eddie Murray out. I remember that because it changed where you have to be this technician as the hitting coach. Look, the Giants have three of them.
Yeah, and it's really working for them. I mean, last night, even though they lost, there was so much smart hitting that went on. You had Slater hit an RBI single the other way, and then Posey, two-strike pitch. He doubles. Mm-hmm. It gets, Crawford, his swing is right back to the deep center field power with that ground rule double. Singles to left to drive in a run the other way. And then in the ninth inning, they didn't pull it off, but right off the bat, you got Posey spanked a single up the middle. Yaz goes the other way for a double. Ruff goes the other way for a single to right. They did a lot of really smart hitting last night.
That's the way they are. They're a tough team. And, it's interesting. Bill just had Jeff Blum on, and Bill asked Jeff the scouting report on Greinke. And he said, well, he's terrific. He'll use the corners. He'll use his changeup. And what he's really good at when they chase. Well, these guys don't chase.
Yeah.
I would assume that, what do I know? But I would think Greinke's kind of stuff, the way this Giants team is now, that he's made for them right now. I really think so.
Yeah, really, it's going to be interesting because, they just running this down as we have been here, they've got a lot of guys that are in the groove. And, of course, the talk of the town is Chris Bryant coming in. I guess he'll play tomorrow, but that's such a great addition on so many levels. It's really I don't know how anybody could contest that move. I mean, you lose Canario, who's a very good outfielder, and Killian's a very good pitcher. But you don't know about those guys. You know an awful lot about Chris Bryant, and now he comes in, and he's that right-handed bat that they need. He's got power. He's a great guy, and et cetera, et cetera. He can play anywhere, and it's a good one.
Well, as Dave Henderson, Hendu, used to say, what about him? He's a prospect. And Hendu would say, a prospect? He ain't done nothing yet.
Exactly. I mean, who knows? Those guys, we'll see how they do.
Yeah,
I mean, But you know, not only that, the Giants still have, I mean, Canaro's a great outfield prospect, but they still have Ramos and Matos and Hunter Bishop, I mean, in the minor league outfield. I mean, so I don't think it was a crippling trade from the farm system standpoint at all.
No, not at all. I think they did quite well, and they took the money back. So that helped quite a bit. Bryant, though, you know, he fits in beautifully. He extends the order and all that kind of stuff. But you look at Kevin Gausman last night, Bruce, in the first inning. That was not the same pitcher we've seen all year.
No, I mean, he walks in a run. That tells you kind of all you need to know. And his splitter was so off. Kruko actually said it was. He called it that pitch extremely unreliable. I mean, you're talking about one of the most reliable pitches anyone in either league had in the first half of the season. He did wind up throwing some pretty good ones. He seemed to find his stuff a little bit, but basically, no, it was a very rough outing for him. You know, he wasn't horribly wild. He was wild low a lot, which I don't think is too disturbing. But the fact is he couldn't throw strikes when he wanted to. He didn't have swing and miss stuff like he usually does. So, yeah, it's been a little while now, so we'll see where that goes.
Yeah, 43 pitches. And when he missed,
first inning,
they were like outside. You know, he was trying to get the outside corner, and he missed by a foot.
Yeah.
You know, they weren't even close takes, as Kruk likes to say. You know, they were easy takes. So,
yeah,
I think the Giants have to be concerned about it because as great as Bryant is and everything he does for the order, you got to pitch. You got to pitch. And that's why today this guy, Alex Wood, I can't say enough about him. I love the matchup. Greinke using the corners and Alex Wood, you know, the pitching machine. Give me the ball, I'll throw it. I think it's an interesting matchup.
No, a great contrast, which is always, you know, the essence of good competition. I mean, they're so different, but yeah, it's a big start. They're all big starts, you know, as we go down the line. But Wood's been terrific. You know, he's a lefty that they needed, and he's had a couple of glitches here and there, but basically he's been really, really good. So, and Greinke's just he's one of a kind out there. He might throw one of those 58-mile-an-hour. Change up to somebody just for the heck of it.
Yeah, I want to see him try to throw that to Posey and see what what happens with it. You know, the Giants are a different team than Greinke saw 2 years ago or 3 years ago. This is a different bunch, so we'll see what they do with him. What did you think about what Chicago did? And Gordon Whitmire is going to join us later in the show. But, boy, if you're in Chicago and you're a baseball fan, and look what they gutted their team. They just—I can't think of other times in baseball history where that's happened.
Well, I mean, you're talking Baez and Rizzo and Bryant, and you know they traded Schwarber, you know, earlier, and Kim. I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, they're saying, well, this is great, and the fans should be happy. I don't think so. I mean, not for a while. I mean, we'll see what they got and how those people do, but. It was sad, but you know the fact is they're like 12 games out. They're well under 500. They just weren't doing it, and now those guys have scattered around the landscape, leaving the Cubs fans you know a little ticked off. And of course Kimbrel goes to the White Sox cross town. It's a huge rivalry. It's a lot more serious rivalry I think than A's Giants because you line up one way or the other and you're very strict about it in Chicago. And you know Tony La Russa's gang is running away with it. And the Cubs are just reeling right now, but we'll see. Maybe I think in another 100 years they'll be back.
Really? Hey, you know, the general manager didn't bury these guys. Sometimes when you trade people, you know, you bury them. You know, Rizzo ended up with the Yankees.
Baez, he homered already.
Yeah, come on, he homered last night. Baez is now, you know, the toast of the town in New York. They're already saying, we don't mind the strikeouts. The strikeouts are fine. They're already saying that. And then you get Kimbrel across town with the White Sox, and you get Bryant with the best team in baseball, at least with the best record in baseball. So I thought the Cubs kind of took care of the veterans in a crazy way.
It's a blessing for all those guys. I mean, Baez in New York is going to be crazy. I mean, he and Lindor are old friends and teammates in the World Baseball Classic and entertainers. And, you know, Lindor's hurt right now, but when he comes back, I guess you know, Baez will play second.
What an infield.
But that's going to be reminiscent of Vizquel and Alomar, you know, two guys who are really, really good, and they're showmen. And the Mets are going to need that because DeGrom's on the shelf again, and that's pretty bad.
Yep, he's trouble, but they've got Rich Hill today to try to stop Joey Votto.
My God.
Come on. You know, you and I have done this record a number of times with Don Mattingly and with Dale Long, you know, who had eight straight games. And Votto's got seven right now. And he's such a character. He says, hey, I want to hit home runs. And he goes out and does it.
Yeah, and he'll probably tie those guys. And Ken Griffey, he's the other guy with eight today. And then he'll hit 14 straight singles to left. This is a guy. A couple of years ago, he had an amazing stat where he hadn't popped up to the infield in 100 years. he would never pop up.
Yeah,
I'm exaggerating, of course, but he's a very, very disciplined hitter, and he is a bit of an entertainer in his own right. He's not Fernando Tatis, but he gets a big kick out of the game. He's deadly serious competitor too, and what a guy to have.
You know, it's funny, when I first met him, and I was doing interviews, for the pregame at that point, and he's with Cincinnati, and I went in and talked with him, and for some reason, I thought maybe that he could play the outfield too. And I just happened to say to him, mm-hmm. I said, have you thought about maybe, playing the outfield at any point? And the guy looked at me like I was crazy. He says, what do you mean? What did you hear? I'm not going to go to the outfield. I mean, it was such a crazy reaction that I said at that point, okay, sorry. I was just making conversation with you. So it's like when I said to Crawford, I said, at some point, can you play third? Shortstop, slow down. And he looked at me like I was crazy. There's no way I'm coming off short. So these are special players. They're special players. What do you think of the Dodger deal and the way all that went down and really the way the Dodgers are playing?
Yes, it's quite a contrast between the way they're playing and the way that looks. I mean, they're supposed to win the World Series now, but meanwhile they're 1-11 in extra innings after last night. They just don't have, and the Giants know this firsthand from the games that they played. They're obviously very good, but they're certainly not an overwhelming and intimidating team. I don't think they haven't been all season. I think a lot of that's Bellinger, and they haven't had Seager, but. The rotation was in a shambles, and they not only get Scherzer. I mean, earlier in the day, he was going to San Diego. From if you follow the Twitter, that was the deal. All of a sudden, the Dodgers jump in, and I mean, I love Scherzer. I love watching him pitch. He's right up there with Bumgarner for me. It's just love to watch a guy work and compete and. So much energy, positive energy. He's been a world champion. He'll be great. They get Trey Turner, too. I mean, that's almost an excessive because Seager is back. And I know they're not too down on Gavin Lux as a player somewhere, second base or whatever. But I guess, Turner, who's on the COVID list right now, but he'll play second. He's a heck of a player. He can really run. He has power. So that's a great deal. But, again, I've got to see the Dodgers turn into a different team before I declare them, the race is over. I mean, they're not winning the close games.
No, last time I looked, they were four back of the Giants in the loss column.
Yeah.
And they had Jansen in the eighth inning last night, and they ended up losing again in extra innings. I think they're 1-11 or something like that in extra innings. But the one pickup they made, and again, this is Danny Duffy, they got a guy with a forearm strain. And, of course, when they pitch him, he'll pitch four or five innings, and then it's into the bullpen. I think the Dodger bullpen is still a major problem for them.
No, absolutely. I mean, they could have used Kimbrel. They could use somebody who's really just somebody like Melanson or somebody who's pretty reliable out there. Right now, even Jansen, you have no idea what you're going to get. And that's yet another factor, I think, that's going to – it's going to keep them close to the Giants, but I don't know. I don't think they're going to run away from the Giants. Who would think that, even with Scherzer?
No, and I think the Reds are on the tail of the Padres. I think the Padres have to be careful here, especially with Tatis being hurt. And DeGrom is out. This is why we love baseball. It's 162. It's not 100 games. It's not 110. It's not 60 games. It's 162, and so much can happen. Yesterday was the anniversary, and we'll try to get this into the show today, some sound with Willie McCovey. Yesterday was his debut, July 30th, and when Willie was with us, we always did that show with him. But your thoughts on Willie, as it was such a special day when he came up.
Oh yeah, I mean here the Giants have Orlando Cepeda, Rookie of the Year, toast of the town, wonderful guy, you know, salsa dancing the night away at in the nightclubs, and a delightful guy that the city took him to heart right away, and all of a sudden here comes this kid out of Phoenix, Willie McCovey, who breaks in 4 for 4. Was it Robin Roberts?
Yes, absolutely.
One of the greatest pitchers of all time. And not only that, just the sight of him was like, good Lord. I mean, he's a Willie Stargell-like left-handed presence, you know, whip-like bat, quick bat. You'd think he'd be a little ponderous. He was anything but. And so all of a sudden, you know, and they've got Mays already. And for heaven's sake, I mean, talk about a power-laden lineup. That's one of the all-time greatest assemblages right there. But, you know, then you start to realize – because they tried Cepeda in the outfield, they tried McCovey, and they didn't look good, and they didn't like it, and they just weren't, you know, they weren't reminding anybody of Curt Flood out there, you know. So something had to give, and eventually it was Cepeda, but McCovey, just from the very start, he became one of the most feared hitters in the league. Everybody took notice of that. Even it was way before social media, but everybody knew that he'd, you know, you read the box scores, who's this guy going 4 for 4? So but, you know, and we knew McCovey as one of the great guys, too. He was a very gentle soul. But on the diamond, I mean, easily one of the most fearsome hitters that ever come along in any era.
Boy, a wonderful man, too. And all the pinch hit home runs, the grand slams, and everything else. And if he could have just hit the ball 2 feet higher over Bobby Richardson, everything would have been fine. So I love remembering Willie on July 30th. I'm glad to do that. Bill Lasky, did you do shows with Willie McCovey? I know you did work as a Giants ambassador, and Willie was as well. Did you get to know Willie?
I did, Marty, and good morning, Marty and Bruce. Yeah, I did. I used to do autograph shows with him, and I traveled with him, and we would just talk baseball on the planes, and we went to Arizona a couple times. And, you know, when he spoke, he was like everybody else, Marty and Bruce. He was just an ambassador of the game. He understood the game. The stories were just like Willie Mays. These guys don't forget about it, and some of his hitting stories were just fantastic. Just to sit there and listen to him. And those are the things I remembered about the great Willie McCovey.
Yeah, I just remember being a Dodger fan. Sorry, fans, I got over that. But I was a Dodger fan when I was a kid, and Don Drysdale was about the meanest son of a gun out there you could ever imagine. Big right-handed side armer, you know, 20-game winner, just one of the best. And he could not get McCovey out, and he actually would admit it. I can't get this guy out. It was ridiculous. He almost expected a McCovey homer every game he faced Drysdale. And yet another great McCovey thing, because Drysdale intimidated the heck out of a lot of players.
Well, the great Lon Simmons story. You know, they're playing an exhibition game, and Drysdale is a broadcaster for the Angels. And McCovey is up in Palm Springs, I think, for the Giants. Remember, they used to have exhibition games in Palm Springs?
Sure.
They used to ride their bikes to the ballpark, the Angels. So McCovey comes up, and he hits a home run. And Lon gets up and looks at Don Drysdale in the Angels booth and says, "See, you still can't get him out."
I think, Drysdale was, like, hiding his eyes at the moment.
he did. He punished him. Hey, last night was interesting with Yastrzemski, and I don't know what's up with him, Bruce. I'll ask you and Bill what you think, but there was one of those moments where you want to get away, you know, where he goes to first base on ball 3, and he's got to come back, and then he strikes out. But I'll ask you, Bruce, that was one of those moments.
Yeah, he's not enjoying himself right now. Although, as I mentioned earlier, in the ninth inning,
big double.
Yeah, and he went the other way with it, which is what you have to do to get out of a slump. So that was a good sign. I don't know. I'm never too terribly worried about him. He's a very solid guy, great heritage, and he'll snap out of it. But yeah, that's kind of the culmination of when things aren't going so good.
Yeah, very unusual to see Yaz do that. His brain's right in the game every time. And when he dropped all his gear and started walking, and I'm like, that was ball three, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And sure enough, he had to come back and put all his gear on, and you know he was embarrassed. And then he strikes out. And this homestand is probably the worst I've ever seen him consistent at bats, and he's missing the ball, you know, by inches, and it's not close. And we'll just see if he snaps out of it. Of course, he's in the lineup again today. For the Giants.
What do you see, Bill? What do you see as a pitcher when you see him struggling in all those strikeouts? What do you see?
You know, a lot of holes, Marty, that elevated fastball, he just can't touch it, and they continue to go after him. They're using a lot of off-speed in the front part to get ahead of him, and then they raise the fastball, and he's missing right through it, and especially the inside pitch where you see him driving it down the right field line, he's missing that too. Too many strikeouts. He's usually a guy that puts into play, Bruce.
Yeah, that's very well said. I mean, you know, you deal him low and in, he's going to hurt you, but he can't get upstairs when that fastball comes in. He's just, and you know, Belt has had that trouble this year and in other years. Left-handed hitters, you know, they're always good for that low and in power stroke, but you got to be able to get up and take that high fastball too. So, you know, I'm sure they're working on that quite a bit, and I wouldn't put it past him to start getting around on those.
What do you think about the Yankees? And they've now got Joey Gallo, not Callo, Joey Gallo. Anthony Rizzo, of course, but they got Gallo and Stanton and Judge in the outfield. And I guess the next one will be Tom Heinsohn. Put him out there, or Dave DeBuscher. I mean, Frank Howard. I mean, Bruce, come
Gene
on.
Conley.
Really, you know, we just passed his anniversary of trying to get on the plane to go to Israel. And he and Pumpsy Green got off the bus on a hot day.
Oh, my God. Thank God Sally Hemus wasn't there. Hell would have broken loose.
Really? Yeah, Sally was trouble. You know that. But how about the Yankees getting Joey Gallo?
Well, they've got a chance. There's a chance when you watch the Yankees, you might see three guys consecutively hit 500-foot homers. You know, first Judge, then Gallo, then Stanton. I mean, like just insane power with those guys, like ridiculous power. And, you know, Gallo, it's just sort of comical to see him going into that ballpark where the right field fence, you pop one up and it goes out of there. It's almost embarrassing. Perfect for Rizzo, who drills line drives to right. A lot of those are going to go out. But Gallo, you know, and they all those three guys all strike out a lot. It's going to be a strikeout fest sometimes, and the fans are going to get really upset. But when they're going good, I got to imagine it'll be fun no matter what. I think they've got a long way to go to try to get in this race. But you know, it's interesting because they're, what are the 7 or 8 games out? But they're really trying. I mean, they're really trying to get back in it. And who knows? I mean, the Red Sox aren't infallible, and then Tampa Bay's in there too. So, Toronto gets Berrios, and they get a field to play on. They played in Toronto. It was a great night in Toronto. Finally, be able to play there for the first time since 2019. So they can't even be ruled out.
No, absolutely. I think that's a great race. You know, July 31st used to be the trade deadline, but they made it the 30th. They didn't want it on the weekend of Saturday because of all the day games. But 1997, Mark McGwire goes to the Cardinals. How about this one, Bruce? And Blake Stein, T.J. Matthews, and Eric Ludwig come to the A's for the great Mac. And he goes on to, of course, who knows what was going on with him, but he sets all sorts of records and has a great career as a Cardinal.
Yeah, that was a tough year for the A's. They lost 97 games, and you know, they were pretty much down to McGwire and Giambi and sort of a fading Canseco. But McGwire was really – he was ticked off. He had criticized Steve Schott and Hoffman, the owners, and he's going to be a free agent. So he was going to be gone, and Sandy Alderson had to do something. He didn't want to do it. And, you know, McGwire wound up hitting 58 homers that year. He went, you know, 24 of them with the Cardinals. But so here's Sandy you know, trying to figure this out. And meanwhile, Tony La Russa and Walt Jocketty, a couple of guys who had been in Oakland, are in St. Louis now. They're going, hey, this is our chance. So they pushed really hard to get McGwire, and they got him. And, you know, the next year he hits 70.
Yeah, you say it's incredible. You know, they said the other day, Sammy Sosa is the only one that hit over 60 home runs three times. And, of course, he's an outcast. I mean, you know, no one, you know, you can't even come to a ballpark because of the whole steroid business. But they did amazing stuff. They really did. They really did. Amazing. Bill, how would you pitch to big guys like that? You know, we talk about the three Yankee guys and McGuire. Is it easier to pitch to a big guy the more holes in the swing?
There is at times. I mean, with that lineup, you got, you know, four guys coming at you that's 6'3" or taller with long arms, and that's what you always looked at, if they could cover the outside pitch. A lot of times with big guys like that, sometimes you can edge the outside corner. You can go up and in at their hands. McGuire was one. Canseco was the other. Just like we talked about Yaz, that elevated fastball, but you got to get to that point before you use that pitch. Those guys are just going to be bashing in the Yankees, and, you know, they got right, left coming right at you. But they're going to have to score a lot of runs because that pitching staff isn't as good as they believe they are, Bruce.
No, not at all. And they didn't. They didn't land. You know, they really could have used. You know, Berrios for one. He goes to Toronto, and of course Scherzer, you know, was the number one prize there. But yeah, that's probably going to do them in. They're going to be in a lot of 10-8 games, I think. And Chapman's coming around in the bullpen, but you got to have the lead first, you know, to close it out. So
yeah, you know, sometimes it's not your year. Uh-huh. And it just doesn't feel like it's their year. And I hate to say it, I don't think it's the Dodgers' year.
I agree. And the Yankees have had some really bad losses, just absurd things. And, you know, the Dodgers have done a lot of that, too, as we were talking about their extra inning record. You're right. Sometimes it just isn't their year, and it sure seems like it's the Giants' year. I mean, yeah. they're going to be in the playoffs, which is barring some kind of catastrophe. And that's an amazingly cool thing in itself.
Well, they're going to have to pitch, and look, yeah. they didn't get this record. And they hit a million home runs, and you know, offensively, they're a very, very tenacious team to deal with. But they're where they are because of the bullpen and the starting pitching, and they're mm-hmm. going to have to do that down the stretch. That's why Brian is wonderful, but you got to pitch, and that to me, that's going to be the key.
Yeah, and I think about a month ago, we were sort of lamenting what was going on in the bullpen and whether they've got enough and. And then all of a sudden, it's looking awfully good. They've got four guys or maybe more that they can rely on out there, and they're doing it, you know, day in and day out, which is just huge. And as long as that continues, you know, the rotation kind of goes up and down. But you know, I really think Gosman's gonna get it back, and yeah, with Cueto and Wood and Logan Webb, I think they've got the guys to do it. They just need to be healthy and hope that bullpen is not a mirage.
Well, hey, Bruce, let me ask Bruce a real quick question, Marty. You and I talk about it a lot, and that's middle relief and how big middle relief is starting to be a bigger picture now, especially with the Giants' rotation going 5-6 innings. When you look at Long, Jackson, and Sanchez, is that enough to cover the middle release, or is this going to be a window where it's going to be jumping in, jumping out with AAA?
Yeah, I don't think those guys you mentioned. Sammy Long, we loved him when he broke in. He really does have good stuff, but he's been pretty erratic, and that's not someone you want to put out there when your starter just got knocked out and you got to sort of hold the fort. Jackson, you know, who knows? He was unbelievable, and then he gives up the slam to Altuve, and Sanchez is just coming back. It's not like when you get later on, you know, with Garcia and Alvarez and Rogers and McGee, that's a different deal. But, yeah, I do think the middle relief is tough. It's really a shame that they don't have the luxury of having Logan Webb be that guy, you know, but he's looking like he's going to be a rotation mainstay, and which is great. I mean, the guy's got tremendous stuff, but he's got a knack of coming out right away with just, you know, an unhittable stuff, and that'd be a heck of a guy to have pitch a couple innings in middle relief.
Well, for me, the right-handed relief is an issue, and Jay Jackson has been in the witness protection program for the last 5 years. But, you know, who knows where he's been and what he's done, and we'll just have to see. But I would have preferred to get that right-handed relief pitcher, but we'll see. All right, we got to run. Bruce, we'll talk to you tomorrow morning.
Thanks, Bruce.
You got it. Talk to you guys. Thanks.
All right, very good. All right, Paul White. National baseball writer is going to join us next, and we'll go through some of these trades. And of course, Paul is in Washington D.C., where my goodness, how about you talk about Chicago and what they did? What about what happened in Washington? All right, more coming up, KNBR 680-1045, the Sports Leader.